Max Dupree said that the primary job of a leader is to define reality. Part of what a Bible college did was that it tried to help define reality in the sense that we live in God's world. In our time in God's world, he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And you are gifted by God. And you ought to really think seriously about where it is you might fit into that whole process of building the church.
Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined for another exhilarating foray into the deep jungles of disciple-making worldwide by Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And we are so glad you're joining us, whether you're watching us on NRB TV or watching us on YouTube, listening in your favorite podcast app, however you've chosen to view the show today. Be sure to pay it forward. And you can do that by smashing the like button, smashing the subscribe button, or leaving a positive rating and review in your podcast app. And other people will be able to see this in their discovery algorithm. We know that every show mentions that, but we appreciate all of you who've done that. Now, you know, something that I think you and I share is not just a passion for reaching the lost or applying our theology, making disciples, even leading the local church. But this is near and dear to your heart as well. But we share this in common, which is a conviction that in order to do the work of the Great Commission, we need to, make disciples and of course, plant churches, but also found Christian institutions. And those institutions serve so many practical functions, but ultimately for the kingdom to affect hearts of peoples and cultures and also to be able to send workers to the farthest parts of the earth. We need, yes, a healthy local church, but we also need other institutions, especially educational institutions, that can be a part of that entire system, that ecosystem of God's people being trained, equipped, sent. And you have, I mean, this is how our paths first cross, is because you've been a leader in multiple different ministries and institutions as well. But doing that well, I know, is near and dear to your heart and to the heart of our guest.
We're excited to welcome Dr. Jim Lytle to our show. I met Jim several years ago while he was president at Clark Summit University. My school, Northland International University, had just closed, and a few of my staff and faculty had made their way up to Clark Summit, and I was invited to come up and do some recruiting for ABWE. And of course, you know, my heart, seeing Clark Summit, knowing its history and legacy in the area of missions, of course, my heart went out to Jim and praying for him and his ministry there, because I knew that I knew the difficulties that the Bible College movement was having. Before we get into all of that, I just want to just introduce Jim a little bit to those who don't know him, although I suspect that probably a lot of our listeners know him or know of him. But Jim served as the 10th and final president of Clark Summit University, formerly Baptist Bible College and Seminary. Beginning in 2015 and up until 2024, he graduated from Clark Summit University, or at that time Baptist Bible College. And before that, has a unique connection to ABWE because he served as a missionary with ABWE, serving in South Africa, starting a Bible college and planting a church. And so he's uniquely equipped to answer some of these questions, but also just is, of course, a great friend and a part of the ABWE's family. And so, Jim, welcome to our show. Thanks so much for coming on. And I just want to dive right into the questions. And you can kind of explain a little bit about what's going on in your life now, too. But when I think of Clark Summit University, I can't help but see that as connected to ABWE's work. I mean, so many missionaries that I'm close friends with that went to Clark Summit were deeply impacted by the professors at Clark Summit University. And when I think of colleges that have been hugely used of God in mobilizing and equipping missionaries, you know, Clark Summit University has just been, in my mind at least, and in my circle of influence, right there at the top of the list. So I just want you to talk about that as much as you can. But what was it about Clark Summit University, its location, the people involved, that made it such a dynamic force for mission mobilization?
I thought a lot about this as we were getting ready to get together. And people who have worked with me have heard me adapt a quote from H.L. Mencken from over a century ago. He said that for every complex problem, there is a simple solution, which almost invariably is wrong. And trying to approach a topic like this, there's not just one thing. You say, well, that's it. That's exactly why it worked. You know, part of it would be the outgrowth of the culture. You know, our school was started in 1932. And so you were at Northland. When did they begin? Do you recall?
1976.
Okay.
As a college. It was a camping ministry before that.
That's right.
Northland Mission Camp, yeah.
Okay, well, see, even so, the evangelical world was a different world back in those days. There was a lot of people who gave allegiance to Christianity, who were coming to church, and they were together. And in many ways, it gave us a false sense of security that there's a lot of people out there just like me. If you were different from me, well, then there was something wrong there. But there's a lot of people out there just like you. Yeah. And of course, as the culture has fallen apart over the last 25 years or so, you know, we've come to realize that a lot of that was a facade. But we had a lot of people coming into the college back when I first began teaching under the, well, listen, whatever it is God may want you to do, your mom and dad said, you need to spend a year at a Bible college. Mm. And after you've done that, you can transfer out, go wherever you want to, but need to spend a year at a Bible college. Well, why? Because during that year, you'd pick up an overview of the Word of God, and you'd learn probably how to study the Word of God. And you would be exposed to a whole lot of speakers you might never have heard in your home church that, had the world in their heart. Before it was all done with, Max Dupree said that the primary job of a leader is to define reality. Mm. And, you know, so part of what a Bible college did was that it tried to help define reality in the sense that we live in God's world. And in our time in God's world, he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And you are gifted by God. And you ought to really think seriously about where it is you might fit into that whole process of building the church. Now, as you're looking at that, maybe what you ought to consider is something cross-cultural. We didn't use that word so much back then. But you know, consider something cross-cultural. And we've got this setup here that would allow you to gain academic credit for spending some time going to live with someone who has already made the step to live cross-culturally, you know, a mission trip. And so our students would then take off overseas during the summer, weeks or months. They would usually wind up living with someone. And, you know, our involvement with ABWE has introduced us to people that, you know, with jaw-dropping competencies, you know, and with a love for Christ that is huge. And you take someone who's 18, 19, 20 years old and give them a chance to be with somebody like that for a few months. Mm. It can change everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of started, you know, we tried to establish a worldview to, you know, that was a, you know, start with the Word of God and Jesus wants us to make disciples in all the world, and he's going to build his church. And, you know, in a sense, we were sketching something huge. The downside of that was sometimes we made it seem like if you tasted this but didn't follow through, then you're perhaps a second-class citizen or a poorer graduate of our school. Mm. And, you know, the ones we really love are the missionaries. And I don't think in our hearts we believe that, but I think noises we made sometimes sounded like it.
Mm, that's interesting. You know?
So that was where we would start, just by trying to establish the worldview and set up a culture on campus that would basically say, do you want to do anything else with your life than serve Jesus? And we'd like to talk with you about that. Mm. So that I think was the beginning. You know, you plug it in there. Great people on campus willing to pour into students' lives, great people on campus willing to make sacrifices for students to be able to experiment and try things. And you know, comfort the fearful. You know, when we were living overseas in South Africa, one of the things we did, we invited teams from our supporting churches to come down to our vacation Bible school. Our church only had 120 people in it. And those folks took a week off work and manned our vacation Bible school, but there's more needed to be done. And so we'd invite folks from our home churches to come in and not be out front. And we wanted them to understand that the church outside America was not the ugly little sister of the American church. And they came in to support our people who would be there after they went. And, you know, it's amazing how fearful some of them were. I mean, airplanes do not routinely drop out of the sky, but if it's your first overseas trip, you're afraid yours will. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And, you know, so you take the folks who, I've never done anything cross-cultural. How could I relate to those people? It's going to be fine. Mm. And you work them through the process on that. It's building a life meta-narrative. Where do I fit into what God is doing? How has he gifted me? You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, he'll direct my path. I want to be open to that. And then see what he does.
What's funny is you'll hear so much from evangelicals now, this anti-institutionalism, just in America in general. Well, I don't like organized religion. And in many ways, evangelicals tend to bristle at the idea of formal institutions, but we're as dependent on those as anyone else. The whole Bible college movement really rises up in the 20th century in response to mainstream liberalism, right? In all of the sort of mainline Protestant denominations. And so what's interesting is you are seeing, and you alluded to some of it, you're seeing culture sort of implode over the last 25 plus years. You're really seeing a new paradigm, which makes the environment challenging for institutions, whether it's Clark Summit, whether it's other schools. I grew up not really a part of those sort of networks. But what's interesting is this will mean something to some of our listeners and other people will not have context. But when I went to Liberty, the professor that taught our introduction to intercultural studies class was none other than Don Fanning, who is also has worked with ABWE as well over the years in partnership. And his graduate assistant was Drew Scott. Help me with his last name. He used to work in mobilization. Drew.
Thanks for doing that to
Brandon.
Me. I can't remember.
Drew Brandon. And so, you know, not having context for who these guys were, but hearing about missions from them, having the Lord sort of work in my heart. And then a few years later, coming here to serve with ABWE and mobilization and finding that there was all of these organic connections between both of them and ABWE. So you realize that to take a step into missions at all really depends upon these organic networks functioning well at a high level, because everything is so interconnected. And really what that class did for me and what I think Clark Summit did for so many people and similar Bible colleges and schools is foster a missionary imagination. Whether or not you grew up hearing missionary stories from the front lines, maybe you had a revolving door of furloughing missionaries coming into your church, sharing testimonies. Maybe you were hearing about all the greats, you know, Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor in Sunday school, or maybe you weren't. But whether you had that or not in your church, you would have that missionary imagination built certainly in your college studies. Can you maybe share, Jim, why that's so important and how you see those organizations, those institutions functioning? What did you learn during your time leading Clark Summit that shows the importance of having those networks and institutions mobilizing generations of missionaries?
Consider Timothy, you know, and the role that he had in developing the New Testament church. And then you can trace back to his mom and grandmother and the church he was in and the visit of the Apostle Paul and, you know, and roll that forward as it happened. I mean, there's, in spite of our rugged American individualism, God has never seemed to have done much apart from a web of relationships. I remember one of the former leaders of ABWE saying to me, he said, you know, if the Bible college goes, I'm not sure what's going to happen to missions.
Wow.
Okay. And because of the, you know, it was a cauldron, you know, it was burning, and it was taking people who were at a very malleable age and exposing them to things that perhaps they wouldn't have been exposed to in the environment where they started. Because theological education shifted from the Bible college to the seminaries now, and that's fine. It was only in the Bible college because back in the old fundamentalist modernist controversy,
right,
the liberals took the seminaries. And so we just had to start with something else. And, you know, then along came Dallas and Grace and all the others that have built up along the way. So you've got to have that web of relationships. Fortunately, in our decade and beyond, I think, that web can be wider and stronger than it was back in the days when we stepped far beyond what the Word of God talked about for the doctrine of separation. And nowadays, I think we can have a wider web and get a hold of people and talk to folks who might not have otherwise. And you've got to have that. We two or three times we brought in a whole crew of people from ABWE. It's only 2 hours from our campus, a whole crew. And they basically put our missions conference on. And our students would look around and, you know, how could there be this many people with this love for Christ and this quality, and how could they all be in one place like this? You know, and that was good for them.
Hey, listeners, we know you believe in missions. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to or watching this show. But have you ever wondered what your next step with the Great Commission should be? Well, wherever you are with missions, if you're ready to get serious and find what your next step is, ABWE's 24-hour demo event is for you. Now, you can go to demo.abwe.org. Again, that's demo.abwe.org, and use the promo code podcast for a discount on your registration fee. So it takes all excuses away. What are you waiting for? Come find your next step with the Great Commission at demo.abwe.org, promo code podcast. I serve now on our leadership team, and two of our vice presidents are both BBC graduates. And so that kind of shows just the staying power of that. I don't want to call it a feeder system because that sounds reductionistic, but it certainly was a feeder system for the mission field, right, Scott?
It was. And it just, that's something I keep thinking about is, you know, how do we sustain something like that? You know, because in one level, there's a need for education. I think we understand that in America, and American Christians want to see our young people educated. And we recognize not everyone's going to go into the mission, into ministry. But we also want to see them educated faithfully and biblically. But there's another component to that, and that is the need for young people to be around other Christian young people who are growing together in Christ. And there's just a uniqueness about that age category that needs, they're looking for their spouse, you know, they're looking for those kind of friends who are going to be Jonathan or David to them throughout the course of their life. And a lot of our churches are small. And so being around lots of other Christians that have the same heartbeat and the same goals and then have Christian mentors around them in a unique way that are not only educators, but also disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful thing. And it just seems like a lot of institutions that make that their main focus have a really hard time staying alive. And that's going to be the challenge, I think, for the future for us.
You know, let me spit an idea here. And if you think I'm wrong, just push back and we can work it through. But as our recruitment department increasingly found that the greatest barrier to students coming to our school was their parents. Obviously, I'm not against parents, but the parents, you're not taking my grandkids off to Africa. You know, or something like that. Their parents wanted to stay home. You know, September 11, 2001, and events since then have promoted that in our culture. Bible colleges used to have this huge reach for where they would draw students from. In Clark Summit, we draw students all the way from Western Illinois, Michigan, North and South. Well, nowadays, any college can figure I've got 250, maybe a 300-mile circle in which I'll get my students from. You know, we'd look out someplace, and if we got students from this little town here, chances are there's an alumnus there, the youth pastor or something like that, who's kind of building the fire, fanning the flames. But things have changed. I've talked to youth pastors along the way, and they say, well, I can't bring up vocational ministry. Parents are going to climb all over me, you know, or parents see a local church do unkind things to a couple of pastors in a row. You know, do they want their kid to be doing that? Uh-huh. And it's, you know, someplace inside there's good motives, but someplace around there's a huge, powerful God who can take you through that. So when you talk about, you know, those institutions, well, it's hard to find that. I'm not sure what the average age is. I used to be more in touch with ABWE and asking what the average age is, you know, in the incoming class of missionaries. But I know it's been creeping up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you take, it used to be a 18 to 22 year old who comes in and they get all fired up and they're going to take off. But someplace along the way, they get shut down. They're told what is legitimately true, that ministry is helping people to come to know Jesus Christ and grow to be like him. Ministry is not related to what your job title is, where your salary comes from, or where you are in the world. It's your perspective on Christ. And so they don't go the what I call the vocational ministry route, even though that kind of sticks in my throat to say that. Yeah. The vocational ministry route. And then the years go by, they get involved in their local church, kids are starting to grow, and it's inside, it's burning inside of them, and they want to do more. And talk to their pastor about it finally, and he says, well, Jamie, maybe I'd want vocational ministry. And they're like, yeah, but I don't know enough to do that. Well, okay, is there a way from our own local church here that we can use another resource, an online seminary? Can we use another resource to give you or your wife or both of you the educational training you need while we prep you? And then who else can we partner with? Because there's a lot of cross-cultural knowledge you've got to have and just some very practical things. So, in effect, the call comes later.
And I think the negative side that we've been talking about is, well, there used to be an abundance of these smaller institutions of Bible colleges that churches could rely upon to handle so much of that development. Now churches have to own that and are increasingly walking through that process of somebody not in their teens or 20s, but in their 30s or 40s, making that decision of, okay, now that you've raised a few kids, worked a job, paid off your student loans, now how do we take steps either towards the pastorate or towards the mission field? And it's probably a good thing overall that that's in the hands of churches right now. And I think the Lord will use that. But let me ask you a question. So I think you accurately diagnosed what has happened with maybe the previous generation. But Jim, what do you see happening now with the current generation? So not to make everything about Charlie Kirk, but I'm thinking a lot about Gen Z right now, especially the men. We're seeing this new generation is wired different. Gen Z is certainly different from my generation of millennials in ways that I actually am very encouraged by the differences. I think they've figured out a few things that we haven't. How do you see that? So, you know, when people talk about what's in the news, they think about what it looks like at the average secular university campus. Yeah, and there's more openness to religion, especially among the men. Okay, that's all well and good, but what does that look like at a Christian, either university or a Bible college level? Does that mean that these younger Christian guys, are they more open to missions, or are they actually less open to missions? Are they more wired to think just in terms of U.S. kind of domestic, you know, issues or you know, cultural, political things, getting involved in that? What is the trend line for Gen Z with missions from what you've seen most recently?
Somebody has to suggest something worthy to do. Okay. Somebody has to open a door. And so I think that it's there. I think that the heart is there. And, you know, increasingly, as you know, we've noticed this happening with young men who, you know, 15 years ago, we'd say, oh, they're so disengaged. But that's not the case. And we're seeing them warm. And you say, especially in the aftermath of the horrible events of the last few weeks, it just popped up even more for us. And so this is where I think schools You know, so we have some of our larger colleges, we used to call them Christian liberal arts colleges, as opposed to Bible colleges. But some of our larger schools, by who they bring into chapel, other things, you know, who's on campus to display and show, they can say, okay, you could come from here to there and do this. I think we need to be more directive in what the opportunities are instead of just being wide open and saying, well, how about flying to someplace in Africa and doing something? I think guys need more direction. They need a specific thing. Check them off.
That's interesting. I resonate with that. I'm not from this youngest generational cohort, but yeah, the idea of go anywhere, do anything, be anything, that's kind of what millennials were told. And that fell flat for a lot of us. You can't go anywhere and be anything. And so yeah, I think putting some meat on those bones, go to this particular place, invest your life in this particular way. And I think you're seeing that the missions mobilizing organizations that have a very clearly articulated vision of going to a hard place and doing something very particular for the long haul, even to embrace suffering as normative, as our friends at Radius are always preaching, that's gaining traction. Because it stands out from all of the sort of noise. So we've got just a minute or two here. Scott, briefly tell us what we're going to talk about in our overtime segment with Jim for our premium subscribers.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I think Jim and I are going to get into a little bit of a postmortem of Northland, who I was executive vice president of Northland when it closed. Jim was obviously the president of Clark Summit University when it closed. We're going to do a little postmortem and what we can see, we can learn from and do differently maybe in the future. Maybe give some hope for the future of things that if we get another chance at building these kind of institutions, what we maybe would do different. Can I just say one thing, Alex, too? I know we're running short of time, but I would also just add.
Yeah. Before we go to your group therapy session. Yes.
We got to figure out the, way to sell it, Alex. we got to figure out the financial thing because college is getting expensive. Maybe that's something Jim and I can talk about. And that I've got a number of young people that want to go and study for ministry or even go, but they can't afford it, you know, and there's no reasonable way that I could look at them in the eye and say, taking on $120,000 worth of debt to get some Bible training is worth it. And, and that's a problem. And maybe that's something for the older generation to think about as they're planning their estates of how we train this next generation. But anyway, Alex.
Yeah, no, a generational change is coming and because of all the factors that we've talked about and we need to be prepared. So we'll talk about that with our premium subscribers. If you're not a part of that, go to missionspodcast.com/premium and you'll get access to our overtime show that we record after every main show, along with other exclusive member benefits, or you can subscribe directly within the Apple Podcasts app. We would love to have you in that community. Remember, the Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. So if you want to take your next steps in the Great Commission, whether you went to Bible college or not, we'll take you. Go to abwe.org and you can get more content from this show at missionspodcast.com. You can also suggest an idea for a guest or a topic for us to cover or send us your questions, even complaints. We'll take it all. We'll just delete the complaints. It's fine. Send those to Alex at missionspodcast.com or Scott at missionspodcast.com. Well, from all of us here at ABWE, we hope you join us for our bonus segment, joined again by Dr. Jim Lytle. And until our next episode, go make disciples of all the nations.